Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. The Lord is good all the time. All the time. The Lord is good. Yes. He's good all the time. All the time he's good. One and the same. Yeah, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. As we reflect on Easter, as Jesus did the victory for us, and as we reflect on the life, the new life that he has given us, I want us to move on to something this month of April as we reflect on a theme I've called Fighting from a Place of Victory. Fighting from a Place of Victory. And I just want to thank God and I appreciate God for those who have been coming, maybe some of them regularly, some of them visiting from time to time. We appreciate you all. And also want to say that we've been thinking as leadership team, we've been thinking of welcoming people during a very special service. You don't need to do anything. You don't have to say anything. But a couple of them have indicated that they will appreciate and they like to be baptized. And so we are going to do a course, a sort of, not a very serious one, just a conversation around what I have titled Navigating Faith, just to explain a little more bit about what faith is, what Christianity is, and how we can at least succeed, achieve what we want to achieve as Christians. And so we'll be doing that, and we are thinking maybe sometime in September as leadership in this church to do this. So if you've been coming from time to time and you want to be part of that, just let me know, and we'll welcome you with open arms. So we'll dwell on this morning on Ephesians chapter 6 and thinking about what Jesus already accomplished for us. But I just want to say this, that I believe that in Christian life, we face battles. In the Christian life, we face battles. And these battles are against what the Bible has called principalities and powers. And I just wanted to have this underlined in your mind. Until Jesus returns, there is going to be this confrontation between ourselves as believers in Christ and these principalities and powers. But who are they, as the scripture pointed out? Who are they, those principalities and powers? Have we got a slide? Yeah, never mind. Yeah, something will pop up as I speak. Just listen to me. So who are they? Who are those principalities and powers? And as we've read, and as Judas beautifully read for us, those are the powerful forces, evil forces of fallen angels that are headed by the devil himself, who is a vicious fighter. But we remember the words from the elder Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And I'll read that for us. Most times in my life, when I go through things, I reflect on this passage of scripture. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for whom to devour. Be alert and of sober mind. Make sure you have this in your mind all the time as a Christian, because the enemy, like a roaring lion, he is not a roaring lion, he is not a lion, but he does like one. And how he does it, why he does that, to instill fear on people. He's not a lion, but he does like a roaring lion. But what he does is he carefully, craftily walks around seeking whom he might lure into these things that will bring attacks to us. And for us to withstand these attacks, we must, underline, we must rely on God's strength. We must rely on God's strength, not our own intellectual ability, not on the fact that we can quote the scriptures from cover to cover, not on the fact that we've been Christians for 50 years, but we must rely and indeed depend on God's strength. And also we must use every bit of those armor, those pieces of armor that we're going to look at this morning. All right? So while it is true that we are always in confrontation with these forces, but I just want you to be encouraged and not feel defeated, because Jesus has already overcome the enemy. He won the battle on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. He won the battle. And that is why, as Christians, we are now fighting these battles from a place of victory. But we can't escape it. Just have that in your mind. We cannot escape these battles. But we are fighting from a place of victory. Because before even the battles begin, God already accomplished some level of victory for us. And that was what the Lord spoke to Joshua about. Now read Joshua chapter 6 for us, from verse 2 to verse 6. The word of God had this to say: "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, and you men of war, you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the song of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the city wall shall fall flat.'" Praise God. "And the people shall go up, every man straight before them. Then Joshua said, 'The son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of rams before the ark of the Lord.'" So before ever they began, God already announced to Joshua, "You're going to be victorious, but you have to do this. But bear in mind that the victory has already been accomplished before you." So Spiritual warfare does not require spiritual strength, physical strength, but spiritual strength. And we have to make sure we put on all these armor, the whole armor of God. So look at this picture and maybe visualize yourself wearing those things listed there as a believer in Jesus Christ. So, as Christians, reflecting on the role of the Roman soldiers in those days, the spiritual warfare we are in, it's not fought with guns or bombs, not missiles, not with drones, of course, not with any aircraft, but in a spiritual sense, with all those that are listed there. And we had this beautifully read to us. Finally, my brethren, I just want you to ask yourself, why is he saying this? This is in conclusion of what he had already said from verse 1 to verse 9. When he gave instructions or encouragement to the household. If you have your Bible, if you look at it again, or when you get home, you know, he addressed children. He spoke to parents. He spoke to servants. He spoke to masters about discipline, parental discipline, about care, about obedience, about love, the fact that as masters in those days who had servants, how they would deal with them, and servants, how they would obey their masters. And he encouraged all of them. And then he goes on saying, finally, I'm now coming to a more important thing. Finally. That's why he said, finally. Now he addressed all of them. And before we get to the what he mentioned, I was reading this and I was saying to myself, maybe he was saying, this is not for men alone. This is not for women alone. This is not for children alone. This is not for servants, but brethren in Christ. And in the church or in the body of Christ, there are everyone. And so my son is not going to say, my dad fights my own for me and I don't need to fight. Spiritual warfare is for the brethren. Brothers in Christ, finally, having addressed you individually, servants, you need to do this, parents, you need to do this specifically, servants, you need to do this, masters. Now, let me tell all of you that what I'm about to say belongs to all of you. Finally, my brethren, the church of Jesus Christ, spiritual battle is something that we have to grapple with, whether we are young or old, whether we are new in the faith or very ancient with our faith. My brethren. And he says that, be strong in the Lord. Can you say that with me? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Not in the fact that you are British or you are Nigerian or you are Kenyan or you are Irish, or you are Polish, or you are Welsh. Not the fact that you are any other thing, or you are rich, or you are powerful, or you are a politician. Be strong how? In the Lord. Not because you've read the Bible several times. The Bible, yes, the devil knows the Bible. Yeah? He knows the Bible. But be strong in the Lord. It is only when you have your strength coming from the Lord that you will overcome in this battle. Be strong in the Lord. and in the power of his might. Now, spiritual warfare is not physical warfare. It is spiritual. It is spiritual. You are not fighting against someone in your neighborhood. You are not, what is happening to you is not because of someone by the corner. There are some places in this, in the world, there are, you know, in some countries and in some circles and in some churches and in some religious places, that whatever happens to me, I'll go looking for someone behind, you know, who I will accuse. I'll accuse her. It's because of her that this is happening to me. It's because of him that it is happening. And sometimes when things happen, when you drive, well, thank God in Britain, we have very good, well-mannered drivers. In some places there are, yeah, just be consoled with that. Because if you, well, I'll take you next time to another part of the world. When you come back, you now agree with what I've just said. In some places there are more crazier drivers, I should say, than where we live. You know, road rage and, you know, people honking at you. And we traveled and my children were asking me, why are they honking? I said, well, no, that's the order. That's the order of the day. They go honking their honks every time. It's like if you don't do it, you don't have a car. So you need to honk your, and you need to shout at the next person. You need to tell them how stupid they are because they are driving what you should have been driving, you know. They should be driving very well mannered, but you shouldn't. You know, that's what some people think. So in some countries and in some places and in some circles, people think that whatever happens to me is because my dad or my mom didn't do what they should do, and that's why it's befallen on me. And they go looking for deliverance from here to here. You know, they go looking for people to pray for them, freeing them from those ancestral things. It's like they don't take up the responsibility. They only look to parents, look to, you know, people who have done this before. But what I'm saying is that spiritual warfare is not with someone else. There is something behind, and there is something real. It's real. It's very real. And I tell you, having lived in this country this number of years, I know there are devils everywhere, not only in Africa. In fact, there are more civilized ones here. Yeah, I'm the one saying it. There are more civilized devils, demons, spiritual warfare in this country. But you know what? We explain away everything with a medical term. We explain away everything with a more modern and civilized way and play a blind eye over things. And you see things going wrong. You see children doing things they're not supposed to do. You see things happening and you explain them away. You see people hearing voices and you explain them away. I mean, there are things that are beyond human explanation, and they are spiritual. They are spiritual. There are sometimes in my life, in my family, we just take a break and reflect on things and then go into prayer. Not just wake up every morning, dust yourself off, go to work, come back. Oh, I'm tired today, jump into bed. You are in a spiritual warfare. You are a Christian. You are before someone who don't want you, doesn't want you to succeed. You are before someone who brings things, and sometimes there are sometimes you just have this unexplained thing happening in your life, in your heart, and you think someone has offended you. You come out today, in fact, sometimes people transfer aggression from their house, from their relationship, upon your children, upon people they work with. And sometimes you need to just take a break. Why am I like this? Why am I? Just go sit down somewhere. Think and rebuke every spiritual thing that is trying to make you hate everyone. That is trying to make you, you know, not sure of how you're wired. You are not wired to be aggressive, right? You have the peace of God in you. When chaos comes, yeah, we should not worry, but we should think about things, hospital appointments, you know, about how to pay bills, about how to relate with our spouses, how to relate with our children, our grandchildren. But you know, there are sometimes when things begin to happen that you cannot explain why there is this outrageous way of doing things and these things happening in our minds, we should just sit down and ask ourselves, what is really happening to me? And maybe God is asking you at that time to pause a little bit and have a time of prayer. We cannot go on and grow in the faith without prayer. And we cannot win if we are not approaching the Christian life like a spiritual warfare. But the armor is the armor of God. The weapons are from the Lord, not from us. And so God is our defense. Praise God. He is our defense. And he says, take on the whole, the full, the complete armor of God. Not just a few. You don't have a choice to take on the breastplates and take on the sword. I'm all right. I'm okay. Go off. You have to take on the whole armor of God. And also, you have to be strong in the Lord, like I said. And have you noticed from the picture I showed us that there is no covering for the back? Everything is for you to face the enemy. That means a retreat is very dangerous because there is no covering for your back. Everything, as we're going to show you, I'll show you another picture before I close. You have to be well armed, facing the battlefield all the time. And have you noticed how the apostle says, having done all to stand, stand therefore and stand. How he uses that. As Judy was reading, I was asking myself, why is he saying stand? You know, stand. You can just point out how many times he said the word stand, which means no person wins sitting. I don't mean literally sitting. I mean, you don't have to relax. You have to be prepared in the spirit, as it were, all the time. You have to be at the edge all the time, spiritually. In the spirit, you have to stand for you to actually overcome and take authority over the wiles of the enemy and just receive what God has done for us, Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Look at it again. The full armor of God. The whole armor of God. So every day we live, we are just like this in the spirit. And we face an unseen enemy who is after what we've got. He's after the faith that we've received. And he wants us, at every split second, he has the opportunity for us to abandon our faith. He's doing everything within his power to make sure that we leave the faith. He wants to make sure that we don't pray. During one of our Wednesday Bible study, after the coffee and chat, I told us how one day I was wanting to pray and I slept off. And I found myself in the morning. You know, in those days, I made it out believing that for God to hear you, you actually had to kneel. I don't know if anyone kneels when you pray. I kneel beside my bed as a young person who have received Christ. I knelt down and I wanted to pray and I slept off. And I found myself in the morning that I was still like that. Never prayed. And I learned a lesson that day, not to force myself. It's not in my power. I don't have to do this spiritual warfare in my own power. All right? There are some times, having said we need to pray, we have to pray. There are some times when someone is tired, you just need to acknowledge the fact that physically you're not able to do this. All right? And just go to bed, have some realization time. You know, have some rest. But never you go off without soaking yourself in prayer. Never you ever try to live the Christian life on your own strength. Never you ever try to understand the scriptures with your own human understanding. There are six of those listed there, and I'll point them out before we close. He says in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having," I'm reading now from the New King James, "having girded your waist with truth." And so the sturdy belt of truth. Look at it there. The belt of truth. This is where the Romans stored their weapons. And so without a belt, they will not carry their armor, their sword, their weapons, some of the secret things that they will use. So I think this is the first thing we need before we go into spiritual warfare. For Christians, God's word is the belt. The word of God is the belt. And it serves as a foundation for everything we do. So just as a belt is worn very close to the body, not like the shield, not like the sword, not like the shoe, but it's worn very close to the body. That's why I believe God's word has to be very close to our hearts and as the foundation of everything we do. We should remain in the word. You know, I do these Kingdom Musings Facebook thing and social media. And each time I sign it, people don't know. Each time I sign out, each day, I ask people to remain true to the word of God. Remain true to the Bible. Because that's what will distinguish you from someone who doesn't have victory, from someone whose victory is already assured in Christ. Don't ever forget 2 Timothy chapter 16, chapter 3 verse 16. That's my favorite, one of my favorite scriptures. All scripture, we can say it by heart, off by heart. All scripture is God-breathed. It's given by the inspiration of God, isn't it? It's God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, all scripture, because at this time that this was written to Timothy, they didn't have the New Testament, they had the Old Testament, and then they had these instructions that are given to them as believers in the new way. And so all scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So if your belief is not rooted in God's word, you cannot succeed and win in this battle. If your belief is rooted on some ideology, if your belief is rooted in some system and not on the word, maybe that was why the apostle began with this. The belt of truth, the word of God, which is the foundation of the success and victory that we've been given by Christ. So I encourage all of us to apply the concept of the belt of truth to our life and hold on to God's word, the written word of God. I'll come to another one that explains another Greek word of Bible, word of God. But this is now the logos. The logos, the written word of God. We have the written word of God. So no matter what preacher comes up today, or one pastor or bishop or archbishop comes up to say, not in line with the written word of God, then they are not from God. Yes, I believe in the experiences we have as believers in Christ. I believe in, you know, the spiritual experience we have and things we have. But if they go away from the written word of God, then they are not from God. No matter what experience they are. Right? I believe in miracles. Of course, you know that. I believe in signs and wonders. Of course, you know that. I believe in spiritual things, being, you know, explaining ourselves, exposing ourselves. But if it goes against the written word of God, If I come out with some strange thing that are not in line with the word of God, then don't ever follow my teachings. Don't ever follow what I say. They have to be in line. You know, some people these days in this generation come out because they want to come up with a new teaching. They want to be seen as somebody special, somebody so powerful, inspirational. And they come up explaining things that are not in line with the word of God, the written word of God. It has to be the Logos. This is our foundation. And then he goes on to talk in verse 14 again, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the first one is the belt of truth, and this one is a breastplate of righteousness. I want you to note, it is God's righteousness, not our righteousness. The breastplate of God's righteousness. Not how I dress, because of course you have to be modest, you have to make sure you don't show off a wrong signal. But you don't go judging people because of how you want them to fit in your own standard, your own human standard, outside the standard of God. So the righteousness of God has been imputed to us. Dikaiosune, a Greek word, dikaiosune, means the imputed righteousness of God to us when we accept him as our Lord and personal Savior. That's the beginning. We have to accept him. Make that confession. The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made, and with the heart, we believe. When we do that, something changes in the spirit, and God gives us his own righteousness. So the breastplate of righteousness shields us, covers us from this strange attack that will come to our heart. As it covers the soldier, it covers us, our delicate heart spiritually, when things come at us, when the devil throws strange teachings to us, when he throws those thoughts to us. And if you're a human being, sometimes you see yourself, your mind will stray, you know, thinking on things that are not supposed to be. No matter how old you are, how young you are, we are all human. And sometimes you begin to think about things. And let me tell you this a little bit. Let me stray a little bit. Sometimes the devil also does this, bringing things that the Lord has forgiven you. Sometimes there are sometimes, you know, you've committed something, you've sinned against yourself or against someone. You've dealt with the Lord and you've dealt with yourself. But in your unguarded moments, the enemy brings those things as if you've not heard them settled in the spirit. And when he brings them, you spend time reflecting on what you shouldn't have been reflecting on. Don't allow the devil let you spend 1 minute on those past sins. Past. They are past. They are gone. It's only you that remembers them. God doesn't. But you think by reflecting on them, making yourself look pious, you are trying to achieve, you are not achieving anything. Let them go. Because in the mind of God, at that time you're reflecting on them, thinking about them. It might be in 1960, it might be in 1950, it might be in 2008. No matter when, have you settled it with God? Have you asked for forgiveness? Have you righted your wrong? Then forget about it. Don't spend 1 minute thinking about them. It is the enemy. This is spiritual warfare. He wants you not to move on. This is the time you've been used, you should have been using to move on, not reflecting on past things. They've gone. They are gone. Just in the spirit, realize what is happening and say, "Away with it, the devil. This is not me. This was me, not me. It was me, not me. This is not me. I am saved by the blood of Jesus. I didn't do it. Yes, I did it then, but now I'm a new me. Get out of me. Get away from me. I am a new me." You don't have to let me spend my time reflecting on those things. It's done. It's past. Get out of my life. I want to move on. The breastplate of his righteousness, not our righteousness, he covers us and shields us. Then the third one, he goes on in verse 16. in verse 15, actually, talking about the shoes. And having shod your feet with the feet, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so for peace, we have to put on the shoes of peace. And so shoes, they indicate that you're going somewhere. I don't know about you, but the last thing I have on, is when I'm going out, is my shoes. Is it the same with you? It's my shoes. That's the last thing. And that shows, ready to go, as I do with them all the time. Ready to go. Now is the time to go. Put on your shoes. Go get it out. It's showing you are going somewhere. So as a soldier of Christ, someone that should be victorious, you have to be going somewhere. Go somewhere with the gospel. If the hymn we sang before now says, we have to tell. If you don't tell the gospel, no one will hear. And you tell the gospel through what you do, through people you meet, and you tell the gospel as we are trying to arrange and get ourselves under the banner of neighborhood chaplaincy. That will help us, you know, to break that barrier of people being suspicious of us as if we are trying to be like, you know, another group that goes around house to house. But we are some people who want to be friendly with you without any judgment, without any agenda, of course. But I believe it will lead to something, yeah? It will lead to some conversations, serious conversations that will now get someone to be rooted in Christ. But you have to go somewhere. You have to be ready all the time with the shoes of peace. And you have to do that in peace, not in judgment and condemnation, and not with a judgmental mind. You have to come with the feet of peace, not condemning anyone, but allowing us to experience Christ for ourselves. He goes on to mention the fourth one in verse 6, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So you will need faith as your shield. And what do they use it for? To stop arrows, isn't it? To stop arrows that will be thrown at them. But this time, spiritual fiery arrows, like I mentioned, that come by way of sometimes some thoughts that will come to us. We need the shield of faith. Faith. Let us think. Faith. We need faith. Though sometimes we have to move out of the ordinary before God does something. I had one man who influenced my life so much. He used to say this. I don't know how, if it's a good way of saying it in English, but he says, it is even more risky not to take risk in life. Does that make sense? It's even more risky not to take risks in life. And I have taken so many of them in my life. So many of them. Sometimes not knowing what will come ahead of me, but I move on. When I have the conviction here, I just jump on it and I will do it. And sometimes the life of faith as a Christian soldier is like that. You have to take sometimes faith leaps, knowing that he is with you and he is waiting for you at the other end. Number 5 in 17, he says, take on the helmet of salvation. So salvation is the helmet, the covering. And you know what it does? It protects your mind. Because as it protects their skull, in a spiritual sense, your salvation protects your mind. You know how it does that? When the devil comes whispering, are you sure you're a Christian? Are you sure he's forgiven you? The helmet of salvation gives me the assurance, I am forgiven. Simply forgiven. If you look on my WhatsApp, I had it deliberately there. The tagline, my DP says, simply forgiven. No explanation. I don't know why. I don't know how. Simply forgiven. I am forgiven. And that's the helmet of salvation. It protects me and repels those identity crises in the spirit that happens with every child of God. There comes a time in the life of every child of God, every genuine child of God, that things will question your faith. Things might happen to you or through you that might question your faith. And those negative voices will come. Are you sure he's forgiven you? Are you sure you're a child of God? That's the helmet of salvation. And lastly, in verse 17, it says, and the sword of the Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Which is the word of God. And now, this is different from the Logos. There are two Greek words that they use to, that the word in English is translated from. Word, the word of God. Two Greek words, two primary Greek words. One is Logos, L-O-G-O-S. And the other one is Rhema, R-H-E-M-A. Logos means the written word that guide us as a Christian. But Rhema is the inspired word that comes to us for specific things in our lives. That sometimes the Logos could be the Rhema. And how does it do that? When someone reads or when you read, you could come to this thing like, I thought I read this before. But it's all new to me now. And it speaks specifically for something in your life at that time. That's the Rhema of God. Different from the usual thing we read. And so when it talks about the sword of the Spirit, it talks about the Rhema. Every child of God has got to have this experience with God that God speaks to them through what has been written in their own personal way, that addresses them personally. And they will go, oh, this is to me. Oh, he's talking to me today. Oh, he's like, everything we've done today is just for me. That's the Rhema there for you. And he goes away from the church, says, who has told the pastor about me today? That's the Rhema. That's what you should have, because it's yours. It's yours. It's personal to you. And that's what you will use to overcome the enemy, the sword of the Spirit. And that's what you use to overcome the devil. He fights us so bad that he will want to discourage us from reading the Bible. Do you remember, as we just read and as we've been reflecting on Easter, Jesus used the word of God to overcome the enemy. Now, finally, in verse 18, if you look through your Bible, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, praying in the Spirit, praying according to the word of God. Praying in spirit is praying according to what he wants you to ask for. Praying in spirit is praying what the Spirit wants you to have. Praying in spirit is like me not coming off asking for a private jet. Yeah, I might ask for a private jet at some time. But is that what God wants for me? So praying in spirit will be praying in line with the word of God, in accordance with the will of God for you. Praying in the spirit, it's against someone like my son now coming up saying, Daddy, just give me your car keys, I want to drive. As much as I love him so much, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that because he is not asking in the spirit. Praying in the spirit is to ask for the right thing at the right time. Praying in the spirit for ourselves, for others. And I'll ask us right now as I close, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you might not be victorious in this battle. Because for you to have all this put on you, you have to be in Christ. You have to be someone that your sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He was buried and he is alive. And you have to partake in that new life. And I'll just give you a few minutes. And I know some people listen to us on our website, and I also like to give you that same opportunity right now. Let's just close our eyes as we reflect on what we've heard. And I'd like to give you the opportunity in your heart by yourself to make amends. If you've not received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, it's very simple. Very simple. Just call on Him. Acknowledge the fact that you've sinned and ask Him to come in. Ask Him to wash you with the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And He will exchange your righteousness with His own righteousness, and you will be saved. You might not feel like it, but it's settled in heaven. It is settled in heaven forever and ever. If you genuinely pray those prayers, things might come to you after now to try your faith. Temptations might still be there, but they are just tempting you. When they come around, just rely on the cross of Jesus Christ. Cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. And Lord, as many as are making this decision right now, Lord, I pray for all of us that you will accept us, Lord, and wash us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask that you will receive us as we make the step of faith to come closer to you. Heavenly Father, the gate of heaven is always open to us, Lord, and for us each time we call on you. And so, Lord, I pray that you will accept us as your children. And as we go on ahead in our Christian journey, these battles will come between us and against these principalities and powers. But we are doing this from a place of victory because Jesus already overcame. Lord, we accept the finished work of Calvary, the finished work of Christ on the cross. We accept and we receive right now. As we go on this journey, Lord, is there anyone that are battling, you know, people that are battling things in their minds, voices speaking to them, telling them they are unworthy, doubting their very salvation, I speak against the negative voice right now. And I release the power of the highest against those negative voices now. We pray against every physical sickness now. Lord, we pray for someone who is very burdened with things, genuinely concerned about family, about friends. Lord, as we bring these concerns to you, these burdens, Lord, we ask that you will speak in our minds and that the blood of Jesus will wipe all those things off our minds now. In the name of Jesus the Christ. Lord, we pray for someone who is living in regrets, regrets of past things, of past conduct. As long as they've brought them to you, Jesus, and they've genuinely repented of the sins and atrocities. Lord, we speak right now against the negative voice. Lord, we ask that you help them to overcome and to remain in that victorious place. Lord, we pray for our family. We pray for our friends who don't know you yet. As this battle rages on, It's also preventing people from coming to the realization of the truths of salvation. Lord, we pray for them right now, wherever they are, that Jesus will meet them through what we say with them, what we do with them, through the love we share with them, that the love of Jesus will draw them closer to the heart of the Master. Lord, we pray that they will receive Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. Lord, I ask now, I have it in my spirit to pray for someone who has been having some nightmares. The Spirit of God dropped in my spirit to pray that prayer now. Someone having some nightmares and dreams, and sometimes they wake up and it looks like real. It looks like I almost gone. It looks like I was almost snatched. The Lord said I should pray for you right now. And I rebuke that spirit. I rebuke whatever they are, wherever they've come from. In the name of Jesus the Christ, I rebuke them now. And we take authority over every wiles of the devil. You are free now through the word of Jesus, through the gospel of peace. You are free from every shackles. You are free from everything from the past. You are free. We sever you from those past things. They shouldn't control you anymore because you are now in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. She is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, they are new. And so everything trying to prevent you enjoying the newness of life, I break them now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord above all laws, the King of kings. Lord, is there anyone expecting something to happen this week? They've been waiting on a phone call. They've been waiting on appointments. They've been waiting on something they've been waiting for, praying for, asking to receive. Lord, may this week be the ushering in of those miracles now. In the name of Jesus the Christ, let the doors be open, the doors of blessing, for something we've been expecting for a long time. Something, I don't know what it is, but Lord, we receive it now. In the name of Jesus, by faith. Yes, faith, jumping on the word of God, taking risks for you, we receive them now. Father, we thank you for our fellowship. And we pray for everyone, Lord, that is here and those who are not here for various reasons. May your hands be upon us all, Lord. And we celebrate the gifts, the talents, the spiritual gifts and abilities we bring together to serve you in this church. We pray that you will bless every one of us, Lord, as we do whatever we are gifted to do to make sure that the gospel goes on. I pray your blessings, Lord, upon us all. There are some of us who do things maybe not noticed somewhere, but you know us all, Lord. You know what we do. And so in the day of blessing, you will bless us all. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We believe in Jesus' name. Amen.